Yeah, it's been 2 years. But doesn't it feel like 10? I'm sorry.
Sometimes it feels like 10 and sometimes it feels like yesterday. I mean, I was just talking to a friend about that. I just wrote about this, but I drive all over the country speaking and these Trump signs, right? And I'm like, it feels like 2016. It feels like 2020. And it's 2024.
I feel like, I don't know if I did a post on it. I don't even remember when I said it, but I feel like this election is much more like 2016
Yes.
than 2020. Primarily what happened in Arizona. And the thing that's the most upsetting about it is that when you remember that how many women ultimately voted for Trump than Hillary, like, those are the women that we need to bake. They just
I
snap
know.
out of it.
Well, I think the abortion bans are definitely doing that. I know. I mean, I'm taking up signatures in the middle of nowhere, Northwest Missouri, and women are showing up that vote
Yeah.
for conservatives.
No, I still think women are going to save the country. I try to be optimistic every day. It's hard, but especially yesterday, I really thought, wow, like, those are the women that are going to either make or break this. Because the problem is, like, my UPS driver, my mailman, and the guy that towed my car recently, like, ex-Democrats,
Really?
they're like, I feel like there's no choice here.
No choice between Trump or Biden.
Yeah. And, this when you say that to some, one thing is hearing it online, but when they're like delivering your baggage, you know what I mean? And you want to not like, but you hear that they're very concerned. They don't feel safe. They feel for their children. These are the hardworking people of color, each and every one of those three.
I don't know how you feel safer in Trump's America than you do in Biden's, but.
But the point is, we hear that we're losing men of color, we're losing Latino, and that's why the women who are now most affected by these drastic, draconian changes to go back to the 1800s. I mean, what are we even talking about? What are we talking about
They've lost the plot. I mean, they
here?
really have. They caught the car and then they lost the plot. They don't know up from down. They don't know what to do with themselves. They know that abortion is a losing issue, but their base is still pushing them further and further to the right when everybody else is like, no, this is not what we meant. We didn't mean this. And so, I think they don't know what to do.
Yeah. Did you see Carrie Lake came out after staunchly supporting that law when she was running, I guess, a couple, whatever, who knows? She seems it feels like she's still always running for something anyway.
Yes.
But now she's like saying, oh, we have to change this. It's like the hypocrisy, and their recent lie is gonna be what's gonna stick because they lie so well.
They do, and they lie all the time, and they aren't made, there's no consequences for their lies. I see it all the time with Missouri politicians. They lie with impunity. And
Yeah.
you can clearly, this is what you said, and this is what happened. That was a lie. And nobody, you're right. People just hear the last thing.
Yeah. Like
And
even yeah, when Hawley was doesn't even live in the state still, like,
right.
so he lied about that.
Yeah, they built a bit really big, huge McMansion down in Ozark, Missouri, but I still don't think they're living there. I mean, I don't know. He is the worst. And when I talk to people who are regular Republican voters, even they don't like Josh Hawley.
Yeah.
I don't know that Lucas, or whoever gets the nomination can win, but I know that Hawley's very unpopular.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just wanted to just circle back to when we first met and how you were just, I mean, although I think, the thing is, winning doesn't necessarily have to be the absolute what you set out to do, but the fact that I know now that you have become a voice for so many and that people look to you, and I think you really won something very special in that race.
Well, and me winning, if I would have won, I would have been on the front page of the New York Times. It just wasn't going to happen. I mean, the person before me got 21% of the vote. I got 25% of the vote. The thing is that it's important that we run everywhere and that we say, no more free passes. If you want to run for something, by God, you're gonna work for it. You're gonna have somebody here that's gonna force you to knock doors, talk to voters, raise money, spend the money in the district and not take it to Columbia or St. Louis. We're gonna hold you accountable, hold your feet to the fire, and we're gonna make it happen. And here's the thing. I didn't win. But we now have 40% of the seats when I ran went uncontested. This year, 18%, because we were so loud and saying it matters that we show up. And so now we have 135 candidates where they have 142. That's how we start to claw our way back out of this mess.
Which is why I still think you won the argument. You might not have won the actual seat, but and that you're speaking, you just said yourself, you're speaking around the country. I mean, you matter. That's
People
the
think
point.
that, right. And I think that people think that I'm an oddity, and I am not. You'll look, even Democrats will say, you know what, races like hers aren't worth contributing to because she's not going to win. But 25% of the people, one in four, and I live in the middle of nowhere, and I talked about abortion. I said the word. One in
Right.
four voted for me. That is massive. Right.
Right.
To say, and then for Democrats to still walk away and say, well, it's not going to happen for a while. You're right, it's not. But if we walk away from these difficult ways, races, if we just give them to Republicans, we see what happens. You end up with a state like Missouri, a super majority where they have been in control for 20 years. And the thing is, Democrats, we always say that, you know, everyone matters. If that's true, then show up everywhere. Show people that they matter.
Well, the thing is, you matter now because you took this on as your part of your challenge to kind of have a voice in a district that you were unrepresented. And that is now, you've seen the fruits of your labor. So that's winning and that's mattering. And not everybody knows how to matter. You know what I mean? And the thing is, you know, not to self-plug, which I have to, but my book is Won't Be Silent. Don't stop till it matters. It's very specific. It's very intentional because the word matter became such a big thing over the past few years. You know, whether it was blue, white, black, and but you know, the and other, like, but you still, it's everyone's job on earth is to figure out what they do that matters. And it's ultimately not the accolades or the fame and the, you know, it. As Pollyanna as that sounds, like, I trust me, look at my bank account. Nope. I don't lie. You know what I mean? But the accomplishments that we make that satisfy our urge for why we do things makes us matter because you've changed someone's life in the bargain. I'm changing people's lives in the bargain. I know that just from the initial response. It's only been out for a week and a half. But the idea that it should be our call to action now forward, which is in the post that I just did this morning, is that voting matters. Like, if that's the only thing you do as an American citizen is go and vote, you matter. Because how many times do we hear Jess Craven going, you're one vote, we lose by one vote, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I mean, and people say this all the time, but if it didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying to keep us from voting, which is happening across the country, especially in Republican-dominated states. You're seeing them, you know, take away our right to vote. When I ran previously, and I have, there's a college in my town, and about 35% of the kids are from out of state. And previously, they could vote where they lived, right? Well, Missouri, right before the election, passed a law saying that you had to have a Missouri driver's license or Missouri identification, and you couldn't use your college ID anymore. Well, that knocked out 35% of the people that I could have counted. That was 2,000 votes, which is huge in this tiny little race, right? So they're doing these things on purpose. And of course, our vote matters, or they would make it easy and let us do it, right?
Right, but we're hearing a lot of the apathy now from the situation with the Middle East, that they're just not going to vote for Joe no matter what. That and to just accuse him of genocide, Joe. It's you know, whatever reason you need to decide that your voice doesn't matter in terms of the vote. Well, one thing is at protests. I get that because I've protested my whole life for gay rights and HIV funding and medication. So I know how important it is to do that. The war in Vietnam when I was in seventh grade. Hello. But I just need to just let, and I'm sure the people that read you daily know how much you matter.
Yeah, and you know, with Joe, the thing is, if I thought that Trump would be better for children in Gaza, I mean, that's something to think about. But we know he's not. We know that, you know, Netanyahu hopes that Trump is elected, so he can have free rein and do whatever he would like. And so I get being upset with Joe Biden. I get it. But we have two options in front of us, friends, and they're not the same,
And
right?
you live in America. You
Yeah.
just have to boo. What's I also like this idea of becoming a one-issue voter. Like if you're a one-issue voter and you get into the booth, you're going to have to think about what is really in my heart the best thing for me or my children. And that's why the women's issue, I mean, if any woman that, of course, if you're a Christian nationalist, of course you're not, your one issue is non-abortion. I get it. You know what I mean? But all those women who didn't vote for, that goes back to the Hillary non-women voters. Like, how do you not make abortion? You have daughters, you have nieces, you have grandchildren that will be directly affected.
And you know, I'm surrounded by Christian nationalism and nationalists, and that's what I see. And I knock thousands of doors, and I talk to people who really were raised in that religious propaganda, and who honestly think that at conception there's this tiny little baby, and they think it is a baby. And so it's just a lot of it goes back to education, right? And those people have a savior complex anyway, and they like to be put upon. They like to think that, you know, everyone is against them. So acting like dying from a septic pregnancy, a molar pregnancy, you know, an ectopic pregnancy is God's will. It runs deep with people. I understand it because I grew up in the culture, but then I started reading and I became an adult and realized that that's not how things work. But they do for some people. And so it's difficult. But like I said, a lot of the women, even the conservative women I know, did not mean for this to happen. I mean, I did a video on a guy that was, you may have seen it on Twitter, but a guy who was interviewed. I think he's a radio host, interviewed on Fox News. But anyway, he said, in Arizona, what's the big deal? I mean, if you need to get a bus ticket and get to another state, what's the big deal? It probably happens once in your life. And I was like, listen, dude, you have a heart attack and you go to the hospital and they tell you to get a bus ticket out of the state, and then let's talk about it. But I will not stand for that stupidity and that misogyny and that disgusting line of thinking anymore. I'm not going to do it. And most women I know, even the conservative ones, are like, that's too far. That's too far. And by the way, acting like we got to get a bus ticket, like we're all just poor folks who get abortions, right? Like we don't own cars. The whole thing, it was just all wrapped up misogyny, anti, you know, poor,
Well,
whatever.
and it's also indicative of the lack of empathy in the entire movement that has come since 2016.
It
Like,
really does.
where's the self-love?
I was like, just talking
is,
to.
Why isn't love part of the Christian nationalist conversation?
They have to have someone to hate, honestly. I was just talking to a friend this morning about the lack of empathy. She used the same words that you did. And I saw it after 2016, but I really saw it after COVID, because I saw how willing people were to let others die and to act like their lives didn't matter if they were old, if they were disabled. But I worked in a school, and I'll tell you what I saw. I saw parents right after, because we went back face to face in August. I mean, a lot of people like they shut the schools down, not in Missouri. Right. I was face to face with a room full of kids. I saw parents that would ask for their children to be moved to another part of the classroom because, you know, we had that protocol where if you were exposed or whatever, they would use their children as a shield to protect the quarterback or to protect the star volleyball player. They would say, oh, move her here and move the quarterback over to the corner so that he can play on Friday night. And I was like, you're putting your kid. I was blown away. I quit after that year. I couldn't. The things that I saw that people were willing to do with children was too much for me.
So, in other words, just letting them go back and work a 12-hour shift when they're 7 years old isn't the only thing that shows you how, like, lack of empathetic to their own family members. Come on.
Right. That's when I think I saw the societal breakdown.
Yeah.
And the need for everyone, you know, to lie and to tell half-truths. I had a principal that I used to work for years ago. He was in Arkansas. And I saw his post during COVID. And he said, oh, I got COVID. You know, I got the flu. And, you know, 2 weeks later, he's dead. He died. He was in his 40s and he died. And it's, I don't know. Things didn't change, even when people they knew died.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it has to, I don't think there's answers, but I know in my heart that when, and I bring it back again to this, you go into the quiet of the voting booth and you have to decide, do I love myself enough to at least think beyond whatever, you know, it's got to be about, you have to love yourself enough, A, to vote, and B, to make the choice that's not going to jeopardize women. I mean, my joke is, you want to take gay rights? Okay, bye. You know what I mean? I fought for them. I'm trying to figure out what that was. I fought for what? No, but you know, it's just, you are voting for your rights. You're not voting for Joe. See, if you take the names out of it, Joe and Donald, if you just take out their name, and just go in with that's that one thing in your heart that you really hope you can see in these next 4 years for yourself and your family. And I really feel it's a landslide.
Yeah.
And if I'm proven wrong, so be it. But at least I want to go in with that intention. It's like the intention has to be honorable, at least.
Yeah. Agreed.
Are you ever going to run again?
I don't know. I took off this cycle because my husband was like, it was so much, Jess. And to be frank with people, I had to quit my job. I couldn't be a teacher. In Missouri, you can't be a teacher and run for state office. I took out my teacher retirement to live on. Mm-hmm. And I have to work. You know, I'm not independently wealthy. And so, yeah, I know. I don't know if people realize that running in these races costs the candidates.
Right.
So is
self-publishing a book.
I feel you, friend. I feel you.
But you're such a great writer, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well,
so good.
Oh, it's funny because when I write, people are like, oh my gosh. They relate to me, people from Missouri and Arkansas and Illinois and Ohio, because I write like I speak and like other people speak. And they're like, oh my gosh, I hadn't heard the word bellyache since my grandma said it, you know? So, right. I just try to stay true to who I am and where I'm from. And it's funny because I have people from, Massachusetts and all these places that are like, I can't imagine what it's like, but I'm glad you're telling me. And I
Right.
know that you feel like that too after writing a book.
Yeah, because people really appreciate the, a unique voice. And
Yeah.
that comes from, in your case, from you where you are, from me having the background and the kind of the in insecurities that kind of help build up, your defenses of, in my situation, humor to defend the world from the horror that's within, But yeah, but I would just say, which is why I love Substack so much.
Me too.
I'm like becoming a little obsessed. I feel like it's still finding its way in terms of what we don't get from TikTok there, but the chat is becoming very alive, I feel, which was unexpected altogether.
Need to learn how to do that. I really do need to get into that because it is Twitter was always my home and my love, but you know what it's become now. It's an
Right.
absolute cesspool.
It's
And
not my
people are always like,
jam.
how can you? I mean, as soon as I post, I have hundreds of they put me on lists. I can't unsubscribe from them fast enough. And every time I tweet, I'll have 10, 12, 20 people calling me every name in the book, right? And it doesn't get to me, but after a while, I'm like, I don't even want to open it up anymore. I don't want to see it. How many times can I see the same thing? You fat, see you next Tuesday, whatever.
What? That's
Oh
why I
God, it's
never, I was
every
never
time.
a, tw I got bounced off in the 20, like during the first phase of the lockdown because I had a big war with Candace Owens and
Oh.
that I got bounced off because of that. So I didn't care to come back. And then finally, when he bought it, I was back and I don't care. But
Yeah.
because you're so effective and engaged, you're in, on Substack. I would say spend like a few minutes more a day on it rather than just have it as like, okay, I've done my thing.
Yes.
Because you'll be surprised that you'll meet really nice people in the chat. I mean, I had a writer who's now bought the book from me just kind of in 2 minutes and is now having me on his podcast. So
Right.
it's like you don't expect these. It's the miracle of social media too. You know what I mean? It's like you don't know who's coming, where, and what, but you're glad
It
they're
really
there.
is. And I've enjoyed the community there because the people are quick. They can judge you quickly and say nasty things to you on Twitter, on Facebook, on these other places. But on Substack, you're not going to find trolls who read 3,000 words.
Bingo.
Right.
No, it's a smart, you know what? It's like you're smart. And you should be surrounded by smart. I mean, that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
I want to. Yeah, I'll go. I'm not leave. I mean, until TikTok leaves me, whatever. But my favorite new line is since I have the book and I have to figure out it or whatever. I'm calling myself. I'm like Ginger Rogers dancing backwards in heels into
True story. Yeah, right.
Facebook. But of course, Facebook has a lot of people still and a lot
It
of
does.
groups and a lot of engagement.
Yes.
And we were all like, I was like, oh, TikTok, blah. But if you're going to play around with us, then you ain't the only game in town, girl.
Right, exactly. No, I mean, I've used Facebook all the way through my campaign, and the people who follow me there are really engaged and really,
Yes.
are paying attention. And Threads, I get so much engagement from Threads,
Right.
and I just wish Twitter wouldn't have turned into what it is, and I would leave it in a heartbeat if I didn't have a 130,000 people there, right?
Wow,
I
wow.
can't leave them, but at the
No,
same
no.
time, I'm like, I hate this place.
No, but I would say, and I feel like Substack is trying to find, like I'm just posting now my podcast thing, so it's another channel. Again, it's just playing, with what tools they're trying to figure out. There's this
Right.
new app that started that's called Creatorland, which is for somehow I ended up on it, but I just spoke to them and I just said, look, this thing doesn't stand a chance. If nobody can figure out, nobody needs a new place to go and just hope that people respond to your email. I mean, as
Right.
it is, your family's not even responding to your emails. Let alone some stranger that's dancing in like, Chattanooga, whatever, Anyway, so what's next for you? Are you having any immediate plans career-wise that you're planning or thinking or can share here?
Yeah, I work with Blue Missouri. I'm the executive director, and we are the only organization in Missouri that raises money for down ballot candidates who don't get funding from the party or other places. And so I'm really passionate about that. And like I said, we have 135 candidates for House this year, which is massive. And now they need funding because they aren't funded. Most of these candidates are rural folks, and they're not going to get any funding from the party. So that's
So
our
what?
mission.
So text me the email address so I can put it in the information.
Okay, bluemissouri.org. Yeah, people can go there. It's we have monthly meetings. We don't treat people like an ATM. Like I send out, emails that mean something. And it's just a nice community where people are like, I got $20 a month. I can help fund, a candidate. And so I do that. And I also speak. I'm going to DC this weekend for the Summit for Religious Freedom. So I'm speaking on that. And then I'm in Idaho. So I'm kind of all over the place speaking to rural folks who are finally like, yeah, me too. I'm sick of this too. Let's stand up and do something.
And
So,
all that came about from your efforts to run for
yeah.
something, right? So
Yep.
you don't tell me you don't think you're a winner,
Yeah, I
honey.
went from, I was an English teacher, and it was really
Right.
sad because I lost my career because I can't go back to teaching in a small school out here because people will say, I don't want my kid in their class because I think
Because of
women should
your
have
ability.
bodily autonomy.
Right, of
But
course.
I made up my income in no time flat on Substack. But then also just being able, I could change a lot of things inside a classroom, 100, 100 kids a year, 100 kids at a time. Or I could go out and change like you. I can go out and make bigger changes because we can elect folks that give a shit, right?
But
Yeah.
again, it comes down to the teachings and spiritualities. If you can save or help one person, then you're doing God's work. And if you don't believe in God, then you're doing the work of a good person. And
The
if
work of
that's
the
not
universe.
right, and if that's not good enough for you, if that's not fulfilling, I don't even want to, block me now or whatever, or go fuck yourself. What are the about? I just think, again, I have had a hard journey to get here, and I've earned my position to know that if that's not a priority for you, then that's not the kind of people I want to be around. And I'd rather have less than more people in my life,
Yes, people who are working toward the same goal. Exactly.
I want to communicate with more people, but I don't need to be surrounded in like some kind of bubble of self-importance. And again, I've been, when you write, you're like a curmudgeon. I literally did not leave my house from April till New Year's Eve
Oh my
to
gosh.
hand this in, but it was so rewarding. Wow.
Well, I'm really proud of you, and I'm so glad that you did the work. I haven't sat down
And
to do that
vice
work yet.
versa. No, you should. You and I, and that's the other thing. When you're in Substack land, you see people's art and creativity, and it's writing is painful, as you know. And that is like, yeah, you have to honor those that do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I am so glad we got to reconnect. I
I
mean,
am too.
you're just a joy. I know that when I first started interviewing people through TikTok, because it was a few years ago, I knew I was going to pick the ones that were where I had an emotional connection to. So, and I see back on my YouTube channel who I spoke to, and it's all people that are still awesome and amazing and have been just building up their lives. So it's really
Well, thank you.
rewarding.
Thank you, friend. I'm so glad that we met a couple years ago. I've been watching you the whole way. I'm so happy about your book, and I know it's going to do well because people connect with you.
Yeah, well, it's still an uphill battle, but one I plan on fighting until I croak anyway. It was a pleasure. I adore you. Have a great election season.
You, friend. You too. Talk soon.
Bye, Annie.
Bye.